thing, you never hear anything about it anymore. Because it's now covered up in words like paranoid. Paranoid schizophrenic. Manic depressive. Anxiety attacks. Panic attacks. Depression. Bipolar disorder. And now, when they couldn't find one to cover everything, they invented it. I love this last one. It's called generalized anxiety syndrome. That just covers, that's a catch-22 that covers anything else that didn't have a proper name attached. Generalized anxiety disorder or syndrome. And so we've got all these pseudo terms used to mask behavior that always before had been attributed to unclean spirits, devils, demons, possession. But we got rid of all that by inventing terms that the medical world can use and that they can treat with medicine. Of course, I know several people who are bipolar and the medicine only kind of works. And people who are paranoid schizophrenic, manic depressive, what they do is they don't cure anything. They don't fix anything. They say, well, we give them medication to help. No, what you do is you give them enough medication to turn them into zombies to mask their reality. That's what they do. We just, for lack of a better word, we drug them. That's what shrinks do. They prescribe medicine. They don't cure anything. They don't fix anything. They don't analyze anything. They never find the root cause of anything because they're looking in all the wrong places. And so the only solution they have is to give you enough drugs to make you walk around in a fog. Now, I'm personally opposed to taking any kind of medicine. Do what you want. It's free country. I take an aspirin sometimes. I'm not opposed to taking medicine when you're sick, you know. But if people say, "Well, I got to have sleeping pills," no, you don't. I've got to have pain pills, no, you don't. You don't need that stuff. You've just been told you need that stuff. Tough it out. Get over it. You know what? I had a doctor tell me one time. I'm gonna get to the message in a minute. I had a doctor tell me. He said, "You know what? The very first thing they taught us in medical school was." The first thing that we're taught in medical school. I said, no. What is the first thing they teach you in medical school? He said, the first thing they teach you in medical school is that all medicine is a poison. Now, I got to look into that. You know something? He's absolutely right. Every time you put something in your body to get it to do one thing, it also does something you don't want it to do. And you take any of them long enough or in conjunction with others and they become synergistic and you mess your whole body up and you do damage that you cannot undo. Don't take that junk. Get off of it. I had a fellow, the lady the other day tell me she's on 8 medicines. 8 medicines every day. I said, you're on 7 medicines too many. Amen. Anyway, now. So because of Pat Robinson and the row over his statement, I thought I would share with you and remind you, though you once knew, some biblical truth about demon possession and the spirit world. It's absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential if to be sane. And to make right decisions, it's absolutely essential to understand that there's a spirit world and that you're involved in it. And it's involved with you. So, since we have to have a text, start in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is not the same message I preached this morning. It's a different one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, that's the best admonition you're ever going to get right there. Don't be strong in yourself. Don't be strong in science. Don't be strong in self-reliance. Be strong in the Lord. But he put it in God's hand. I mean, really put it in God's hand. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Spiritual being. And he's active and he's busy. He's involved in human affairs. I know the news media doesn't want you to know that. Education don't want you to know that. Science doesn't want you to know that. Medicine doesn't want you to know that. But the devil is actively engaged in human history every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So your warfare is not against the flesh and blood. So any science or any branch of medicine that spends all of its time on flesh and blood has attacked the wrong part. You don't have to be a genius to get that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The flesh and blood can only do so much, and there's only so many symptoms, and it can be treated with so many medicines. The real problem is the spiritual side of the guy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The fight is a spiritual fight. And the adversary is a spiritual adversary. And as long as you fight with just the flesh, you will not win. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You see where the war is at? And 90% of American Christians only know they got flesh. We don't give any consideration. All that spiritual stuff, all that mumbo jumbo, all that's for places like Haiti. Half America's demon possessed. I think sometimes half the Christians are demon possessed. Somebody say amen. Praying always with all power, prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Father, help us now. Give us liberty. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there are two realms, there are two worlds, and there's two parts of every born-again person. The world doesn't see that because they're not born again and they don't have that spiritual nature for the discernment. So they're not equipped to fight. They're handicapped. But if you're saved by God's grace, you're born again and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you are enabled to fight against spiritual wickedness. You are able to engage in the conflict, and you have an advantage that the world does not have. The problem is we threw that advantage away because instead of listening to God about it, we listen to the world about it. Well, medical science says, the doctors say, listen, I'm a Bible believer. Do you understand that? I take this book over science education every single time. Every time. You say, but you think you're right or the Bible's right and all them science are right. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think they're just nutty as a fruitcake. I think the only real science that exists agrees with the Bible. And science falsely so called disagrees with the Bible. You say, well, people will think you're... I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. I don't care what people think. I want the truth. This book is the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. I got more faith in this book than I got in anybody on this planet. Now, all this bipolar and generalized anxiety syndrome, all that stuff, listen, that's just cover language to try and explain behavioral phenomenon that they have no explanation for. You know what insanity is? You know what schizophrenia and all that stuff is? That's behavior that's not normal in the population. If it were normal, everybody would be doing it. But because 98% of the population doesn't do it, and you have this 1 or 2% has aberrant behavior, we have to deal with that. But rather than admit what it is, we classify it as insanity or give it some medical term. We say, oh, he's a paranoid schizophrenic. Well, what does that mean? That means he thinks everybody's out to get him. He's paranoid. He thinks everybody's out to ruin him or hurt him or do him dirty. He's schizophrenic. His mind comes and goes. Well, is that normal behavior? You say, well, of course not. That's why they go to the doctor. Well, if it's not normal, how come it's not normal? Why do some people behave that way and some don't? That's four reasons. There's only four. Every behavior known to man can be found in one of four categories. Assuming that everything in your body is working like it's supposed to, and that's a big assumption. If everything in your body is working like it's supposed to and you're not demon-possessed, then you'd be normal, right? All right? Now, what affects the flesh? Here's the part of you that the world is consumed with. They are consumed with the flesh. That's the only thing a doctor can deal with. It's the only thing he can deal with. Now, so, if we look at it from his perspective, he sees. You come in and you've got behavior that's abnormal. When we classify it as aberrant behavior, or we find some technical term that puts you in a generalized category, paranoid, schizophrenic, manic, depressive, bipolar. Because that's the term that we've attached to the kind of behavior that you display. Right? Now, what makes you display that? What makes you different? Why are you different? Why do you have this behavior that's unacceptable and other people don't? Well, if it's all in the flesh, if it's all in the body, there's only a couple answers. One, it has to be a tumor or a lesion has messed up the apparatus. Your brain's not working like it's supposed to. And your behavior doesn't come from the organ of your heart or the organ of your kidneys or the organ of your liver. All those things come from your brain. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Eh? All that stuff comes from right here. So they say, you're flesh and blood and that's all you are. If it's flesh and blood, if everything was okay, then you'd be normal. You're not normal, so something's not okay. What is it? Well, it has to be a tumor or a lesion that messed up the way things work. The wires got shorted out because of a growth. Okay, I can allow for insanity in people and weird behavior, unpredictable behavior, if there is, in fact, tumors and lesions in the brain. Okay? Number two. In that amazing body of yours, there are hundreds of proteins and chemicals, enzymes, hundreds and hundreds of them. Some cells, a single cell has 100 different kind of proteins in it. And if those things get out of whack, too much or too little, they don't generate the right signal in your nervous system, the neurons and all that get all out of whack, then you get weird behavior. So you can have a tumor or a lesion that messes up the brain and its wiring, or you can have chemical problems that cause an imbalance that mess up your brain. Now you ladies ought to be able to relate to that. You go through a cycle monthly, and your mood swings and changes because your body changes. What changed? Your hormones change, right? You ever hear ladies say, oh, my hormones are all out of whack. I got a friend up in Virginia Beach that thinks all women are demon possessed. What causes those changes? What makes you get grumpy and irritable and all that? Chemicals. Amen? And then they straighten themselves out, and all of a sudden, it's like you were bipolar. Yesterday you were the devil herself, and today you're a sweet little baby doll. So what happened? We got our chemicals back in balance. So, when it comes to the flesh, we have tumors and lesion, we have chemical, right? Now, we have a third factor that sometimes is overlooked, and it is the most difficult of all to deal with, and that's the old nature. That is, your brain and the way it functions is inherently messed up. Your body is not perfect like it was when God made it. So you have the deficiencies and the decline of the physical body over a period of 6,000 years to deal with. So we've got three things that can affect the flesh. Pathologically, lesions and tumors. Chemically, enzymes, proteins, that kind of thing. Or, sometimes we call it personality, it has to do with the old nature. Okay? Now those three things can affect your behavior. Well, let's suppose they take you out and they test you. And you don't have any lesions. And you don't have any tumors. And all your chemicals are right where the doctors say they're supposed to be. Amen? And we do a psych eval and you're not whacked. Then what explains that strange behavior? A fourth thing that the world will not acknowledge. Unclean spirits that make you act and do things contrary to what you would do if they weren't present. Because there's nothing wrong with you as an individual. Your pathology is good, your chemicals are good, your personality is good, then why, on random occasions, for no reason it can be explained, do you do certain things? How about becoming influenced by somebody else? Suppose there's an entity that takes charge, possesses you, takes control of you, puts pressure on you to do things that you just wouldn't do on your own. Now, let me see if that works. Let's try this and see, okay? Let's take our Bible and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 19. Now look at verse 9. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Now, Saul is the king. David is his son-in-law and his best friend and his top general. There is no reason in the world for Saul to want to kill David. But he wants to anyway, and he tries several different times. Look in chapter 17. Look back in 17. No, that's not the right way. Where am I at? Maybe that's 2 Samuel, I don't know. Well, never mind 17. It's the wrong reference. Anyway, Saul has an unclean spirit. Now, if you read all the story about Saul and all that he does, there's an evil spirit that comes upon Saul from time to time. Now, when the evil spirit is not there, Saul is a perfectly normal individual. He doesn't have any tumors or lesions. He doesn't have any chemical problems. And his personality is okay. He's David's friend, and he's a good guy, and everything is normal. But every now and then, this unclean spirit takes control, and Saul does things Saul would not normally do. So why is that? Because he has an unclean spirit. He's demon-possessed. Now, why Christians have a hard time with demon possession, I don't know. How many of y'all believe y'all possess a spirit? You believe you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Hello? But then people say, well, I don't believe in demon possession and all that. You know, that stuff's from Haiti and Africa and South America. That's just, legend, tradition. That's people just say that stuff, you know, because they don't know any better. No, they say that stuff because it's so. And the people who deny it are the ones who don't know any better. Now take a look at this one. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Look down at verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21, 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab, to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my Lord the king, are they not all my Lord's servant? Why then doth my Lord require this thing? Why will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Joab is a general. He said, David, don't do this. Why did he say that? Because God already told him not to do it. God said, don't number my people. Now, God's got his own reason for that, and that's a discussion for another time. The point here is, God said, don't do it. And then all of a sudden, David is just hell-bent on doing it. And Joab argued with him and argued with him and argued with him, and David just won't listen to reason. Is that like David? Well, you read the rest of David's story. He consults with his generals. He consults with God. He listens to their wisdom and their counsel. He was a good king and a good leader. But all of a sudden, out of a clear blue sky, he wants to do something he's told not to do. And nobody could talk him out of it. Now, you and I know from the Bible that the reason he did that wasn't because he had a tumor. Wasn't because he had a chemical imbalance. It's because the devil did it. See? There's a spiritual conflict. And when people who are normal and rational do things that they would not do, should not do, and when they can't be talked out of it or whatever, there's a reason behind it, and a lot of times the reason behind it is there's an unclean spirit in there. We just don't like to deal with it in our educated, enlightened, intellectual day. We don't want to look stupid. We don't want to look like some hillbilly. And so we deny the truth. Well, you can't deny the truth and come to the right conclusion. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, you don't need to turn there. In Mark chapter 5, 1 through 6, there's a fellow who lives in the graveyard. And he cries. Not tears running down his face, but he cries. He hollers out. He cries aloud. That kind of a thing. He's loud and boisterous. And he runs around naked. He could be from Berkeley. Amen. You know, they had a man in a class at University at Berkeley campus in California that attended class every day naked as a jaybird. And nobody ever said a word to him. And they asked some of the people about it. And one of the girls said, the only thing you do is to try not to sit where he was. Make sure he sits in the same seat every day. It's unclean. But they let that guy go to school for a year naked as a jaybird. Nobody said a word. This guy in Mark chapter 5 is probably from Berkeley. Now, when you see loud outbursts, people that are excessively loud and repetitively loud, that you can't quieten down, they're unruly. When they cry out like that, when they have weird behavior, I tell my wife all the time, I was watching the Gaither video this afternoon, and they were doing a memorial, not a memorial, but kind of an end of life thing for the Cathedral Quartet, and one of the groups they had on there was the Oak Ridge Boys. And they got that fella, you know, that's got that long white beard that comes down to here, and got that long white hair that comes down to here. I told my wife, I said, that boy's got mental problem. He needs a psyche valve. I believe anybody that dresses totally contrary to everybody else in the world, they got mental issues. Elvis Presley was mentally deranged. Anybody put on a lightning blue, electric blue silk suit, and what? You're nuts, man. You're weird. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 19, Saul's problem was a spiritual problem. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David's problem was a spiritual problem. In Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, the man in the graveyard, his problem was a spiritual problem. Not one of the three had a physical problem. There was absolutely nothing there that any doctor on the face of this earth could have fixed. The truth is, there's not a doctor on our planet that could have diagnosed the problem because they all deny the reality of the problem. Shrink is qualified to help you with an issue as an Eskimo. The only difference is Eskimos are cheaper. You live in a world that on more fronts than I care to count, deny reality. I never thought I would live to see the day that so many educated people would be as messed up as they are. You ever think about it? Somebody explained to me how you could draw the conclusion that Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid were sane. Go ahead. Explain that to me. When everything they do defies reason or logic or law, there's no rational explaining how they operate. So if there's no rational physical reason, we have to turn to the other only other alternative that there is. They got an unclean spirit. I'm almost to the point, I'm about two-thirds convinced that there's an unclean spirit that has spread by transference over D.C. inside the Beltway has unclean spirit. And I bet you, if y'all have paid me to go up there, I'll find out. I bet you if I went to D.C., I could feel the spirit, the unclean spirit, I could feel or sense the oppression when I got to that place. Yeah. I don't know if some of you, I go to some strange places because I do heat and air conditioning. Do you know I've been in bars where they sell booze and they have loose women and they're just wicked places and not had a sense of oppression? You been there? And then you go in another place, and there's a spirit, there's a tension, there's a feeling, there's a shadow hanging over that thing, that man, all I cannot get out of there fast enough. I would have thought all them bars would have had the same spirit, but they don't. They don't. I've been to towns. You go out in the mountains, North Carolina. I'm serious, a heart attack. You go up there where you got a bunch of them artists and all that stuff. There's a heavy, heavy spirit in that place. And you'll notice there ain't nothing going on there spiritually. I mean, there's no big churches in some of them areas. They're just dead flat. Now, I brought you that little tirade just to remind you that before you go and try and figure things out, look at the whole picture. When there's no reasonable, rational explanation, you might look to the spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our real warfare is with principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. And Christians have all but forgotten the real fight. The real fight is a spiritual fight. And you have to fight it spiritually. Which means the Word of God, prayer, preaching, spiritual life, staying close to God, getting close to God, filling your heart and your soul with the Word of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God and letting God read and direct in your life and staying in touch and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's the only hope you got, because the real battle is a spiritual battle. And people want to run around and fight the physical thing. So we got doctors and we've got books and you can go online and get help for anything. And I'm not against doctors, thank God for them. If I had a tumor or a lesion, call it cancer, thank God for oncologists, man. Amen. I've already made up my mind, if I get cancer, I'm not going to a regular thing. I've been watching them commercials for that Cancer Centers of America. That's where I'm going. I'm going there first. Amen. You can't figure out what's going on in the world. You can't figure out what's going on in Haiti. You can't explain Iran, Iraq, you can't get a handle on any of those things until you take into account spiritual wickedness in high places. Until you understand there's a demonic world, a spirit world, and that you and I live and fight in both. And the conflict that goes on down here is just a shadow of the real thing. And the really important one, who wins and loses down here is almost irrelevant, immaterial. Countries come and countries go. The real outcome is decided in high places. Don't ever lose sight of that. All right, let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I pray you'd help us to be wise, attentive, alert. Help us to be discerning. We don't want to be foolish. We don't want to think everything on evil spirits and all that. We don't want to be fanatical. We don't want to be stupid. But Lord, neither do we want to be foolish and foolhardy the other way and think everything is the flesh. Give us some balance. Give us some wisdom. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Night, brothers.